It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin egg exports are strong, but for how long? The World Trade Organization forecasts the global economy facing strong headwinds next year. We explore how multiple shocks weigh on the global economy, what it all means for Wisconsin exporters. Join in and how your firm is navigating international markets, what your customers outside the U.S. tell you, and closer to our capital, what trade beneficial policy should lawmakers budget for? 800-642-1234. Mark Rodehage is here, director of the International Agribusiness Center. That's part of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, where he directs the Export and Business Development Bureau. Mark, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
So Wisconsin egg producers seem to be finding homes for products around the world. Exports last year hitting an all-time high. What is the source of the momentum?
Well, demand is the main part of it. You were correct, $3.94 billion at the end of last year. That was well up from the previous year. And year to date in June, we're up a little over 14% to $2.18 billion. So good half of the year so far, and fairly positive outlook by industry and USDA to finish out the year even stronger than last year. And I think a lot of what's driving that is demand around the world. You know, post-COVID, a lot of stocks need to be refilled, and a few other challenges, as you noted in the intro, that in most cases we're able to produce those products to get them to the markets that need them.
Are agricultural exports up around the country, or is Wisconsin an outlier, do you think?
No, the all U.S. Food, forestry, and agricultural product exports are up. They're actually up around 15%. So we're tracking pretty close to the rest of the U.S. So it's been a pretty strong year so far for agricultural product exports.
When you look at the value of exports, I mean, we see sky high inflation here at home. What does that mean for the value of goods that producers can get for their products outside our borders?
Well, the prices have certainly gone up on things, and inflation has played a part of that. And of course, that also figures into the inputs for those products. I think by and large, what we hear from industry is that things are okay, that they've not certainly impacted by inflation, but not to the point where they're losing so much. And so and they're actually shipping more product as well. So far, so good, so far, so strong.
What impact have the Biden administration's trade policy had? You know, what impact have tariffs had on our biggest trading partners like Canada, like Mexico and China?
Well, certainly in the previous years, the retaliatory tariffs that had been on several agricultural goods were part of what were pushing down our exports. We had some difficult years over the last five, but then moving into post-COVID and then through the start of this year, it's actually been fairly good that a number of those tariffs had been removed actually after the USMCA was signed for Canada and Mexico, and then as well into Europe. There are still some tariffs in China, certainly on products, ginseng being one of the more notable ones, and still difficult for a lot of those folks shipping products into that market. And then into Canada, there is still some challenge with the tariff rate quotas. So the amount of cheese that we're able to sell, we believe, and the industry believes that we would be able to ship more if Canada were to allow more import by distributors and food service buyers as opposed to only the processors, which is that right now. However, I have to say that in Canada and overall, dairy exports are up. So those tariff rate quotas on those dairy products, although would allow for more opportunity, it's still been a fairly strong year to date.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about global trade with Mark Rodehage, director of the state's International Agribusiness Center. You can join in on exports and how your company has fared, where your eye is now, what about inflation and other input costs. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mark, we saw there the World Trade Organization forecasting in recent days that trade will slow significantly next year, increasing just 1% from this year. It previously had expected trade to increase more than 3%. So what would a global trade slowdown mean for Wisconsin egg producers?
Well, it could potentially be a difficult year for us going forward. We look to finish this year out, though, relatively strong, as I mentioned before, a little bit above what last year was. We don't see the forecast quite yet. USDA puts out forecasts later on in this year to be able to help see what the how it might end up for us. But looking through 2023, there certainly are concerns. Demand could potentially fall off, and then as well, the strength of the dollar is probably one of the stronger factors right now. That it's one of those headwinds that you mentioned, pushing against being able to move forward. But at the same time, demand for food products and most of what we produce in agricultural products is expected to remain relatively strong. So haven't seen the forecasts yet from all the economists who do that work, but not maybe as pessimistic as what the WTO is saying across all countries.
Well, on the theme, though, of headwinds, and I think we need to just take stock because there are so many variables to watch that could impact egg exports, the high inflation, the fears of recession, the ongoing war in Ukraine and grain, and then Wall Street volatility and the strength of the dollar. What is the thing that concerns you most?
I think, the cost of the dollar, the or the price of the dollar, I guess, in terms of other currencies, and then the supply chain challenges that we'd seen before. That availability of containers to ship a lot of those completed finished food products, and the costs of fuel to move those products around. So some of those things, I think, are concerns that would push against what we're able to ship. And then what also factors against that that could be to the positive, maybe not for the folks that are growing the products that they're shipping, or some of the weather concerns. So certainly we've had ours here, and we've had some drought conditions around the U.S., but there are also those conditions in other parts of the world, that those the lack of water in the number of markets. And so some of that still factors into needing more of the food products. Now, that may have a different effect for the manufactured products, but the food products seem to be, demand seems to be strong enough in those areas.
Mark Rodehage leads the International Agribusiness Center inside the State Agriculture Department. Join in on our state's egg producers exporting to 146 countries last year over year, double-digit growth from 2020. How your organization views the value of exports as part of its business model. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we discuss Wisconsin export markets, products with the International Agriculture Center housed within the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Top three markets for Wisconsin egg exports last year, they were Canada, China, and Mexico. Join in on global trade, how Wisconsin goods fit into the picture, what policy action you want from lawmakers to boost state exports. 800-642-1234. Mark Rodehage directs the International Agribusiness Center, stays with us, also Bureau Director for Export and Business Development. So, Mark, you know, you mentioned supply chain issues and container issues. You know, we still remember last year all those loaded container ships that were congregated off the coast of Southern California. Are you saying that there are still supply chain issues out there?
There are, although those impressive number of ships waiting at sea to come in and be loaded, and some of that overage in containers sitting at the port empty and essentially shipping air back to Asia, those empty containers going back to refill. Some of that's been alleviated, I think, and caught up. But there are still some worries about that. And it's difficult in general for containers to get into Wisconsin. The availability of those containers, they go to the major port areas, they go to some of the major cities. As we hear from companies that we work with and talk to, that it's still difficult to get those containers. They have to wait longer, the price is higher. So a lack of an intermodal facility where those metal boxes, those 20 and 40 foot long boxes are stored and made available still are a challenge. Now, people are able to get them. And some of the companies have resorted to their own solutions, contracting with companies to bring in specialized containers to help move their products. So that still is a concern for a number of folks going forward. Not to the level it was a few months ago, but still a concern.
Canada being Wisconsin's biggest export market, followed by China and Mexico, are there markets where you see room for growth?
Absolutely. And if you look at our top five markets, so besides Canada, China, and Mexico, as you mentioned, or the top three, rather, the top five include Korea and Japan, and they make up nearly two-thirds of our exports. If you go to the top 10, that's like three-quarters of our exports. All of those are up year to date, and we see those staying steady for us, some more so than others. Mexico's had a bit of a challenge with their economy not being as strong as it maybe has been in the past, and COVID hit them quite hard. But as we look at those opportunity points, Korea, quite strong. Japan, China is still strong, even though certainly some challenges and some tensions geopolitically with China, but they still need our goods. A lot of whey products go there, a lot of grain products go there. But then we're also looking at areas like the Middle East. So the Gulf countries, there's a major trade show in Dubai, UAE, but markets like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Qatar, those are all, and the UAE, of course, too, those are all strong areas for us. And in Asia Pacific, Southeast Asia, there's a major trade show that we'll be participating in Thailand that will be from that region.
And I want to pause right there because
sure.
Where is the next trade mission and what are you gearing up for to put Wisconsin on display?
Well, I appreciate that question because the Wisconsin Initiative for Agricultural Exports, that's funding that's from the legislature and authority to provide up to $1 million a year for the next 5 years to grow our ag exports by 25%. Part of that funding goes to grants to companies and organizations, but another part of that is for trade promotion activities. And that includes trade shows. So a pavilion where we facilitate Wisconsin agribusinesses, the dairy, meat, and crop product companies to exhibit their products, to make that easier for them to do that. And then as well, the missions, as you mentioned, so going outbound, traveling with companies to meet their prospective buyers, and then inbound missions. So the next activities that we're looking at for 2023, Gulf Food, as I mentioned, in UAE, that's for a range of finished food products, dairy, meat, and crop. Products, and that's in Dubai in February. In March of 23, That's VIV Asia. That's a livestock and genetics and feed products show. And then we are looking to do a trade mission to the UK. UK is a reasonably well-established market. It's number six for us, I believe, year to date. Has been perennially a strong market. Sometimes it's even reached into the top five. And we're looking to bring companies to that market to meet their potential buyers. That would be in May, June period of the year. And then we have a couple of inbound buyer missions for wood and food products planned. So all of those activities are funded by the Wisconsin Initiative for Agricultural Exports. So those are Wisconsin funding
and I think
that's available for programming.
Yeah, that's an important distinction because your center, as I understand, used to be funded through federal dollars and support from trade organizations. Now you get some state funding. And what does that change enable you to do?
Well, it allows us a couple of things. And it's a both and approach. So we still are working with those funds that come through USDA, through the Food Export Association, livestock, U.S. Livestock Genetics Exports, and as well through Small Business Administration funds. That's through a grant program that actually is channeled through WEDC. So we work quite closely with them on that. So we're continuing to do activities for that as well. But what this specific funding from Wisconsin does for us is that it allows us to then have a bit more control over our destiny, let's say, that we're able to tailor those activities more directly than, let's say, some of the federal programs where food export may be going to a particular market. Still good for us, but now we're able to do things that are completely focused on Wisconsin needs. And then adding to that, one of the grant programs, the export expansion grants, allows for agribusiness organizations or those organizations that benefit dairy, meat, and crop exporters to be able to do those kinds of activities as well themselves. So we're multiplying the effort as well as being able to tailor a number of these activities specifically for Wisconsin needs.
Mark Rodehage stays with us as Director of the Export and Business Development Bureau for the state. You can join in on Global Trade at 800-642-1234. Mark, I want to pause here for a moment and just mention the Export-Import Bank of the U.S. giving loans, lines of credit to help American companies finance their deals and, you know, sometimes assuming risk that the private sector might not. Is Wisconsin using the EXIM Bank services to its fullest potential?
You know, that's a good question and a good point. The EXIM Bank, and a lot of people think of it being the bank for Boeing, that it's only for multi-million dollar deals on massive jets or a number of jets being sold in markets. But actually, EXIM Bank, their programs help small to mid-size exporters as well. And it's across the board, not just for manufactured products, but also for the agricultural products that, that we also ship, whether it's the grains or whether it's the finished products. And in fact, at World Dairy Expo, there was a seminar that the Livestock Exporters Association provided to a number of Wisconsin exporters. And one of the representatives from EXIM Bank in Chicago was there presenting to the group, talking about those products, as they call them, those guarantees, so that the exporters can actually utilize that to provide credit terms. Because in many markets, the cost of capital is very high. And so rather than provide, let's say, a price discount to compete with some other exporter from another country, if you're able to offer credit terms, that's actually worth more to the customer than a discount on the products to be able to allow them to pay, let's say, in 60 or 90 or 120 days, but also guarantee that you'll get paid for that product, because you can make the export, but if you don't get paid for it, it's not really an export, or it's not a benefit, at least.
Right. We only have a few moments left here, but what more would you like to see Wisconsin lawmakers do to increase exports in the next session?
Well, we really appreciate what has been done to date. I mean, we look at this unprecedented amount of funding that's been available to us from the state. We've not had program funding from the state previously since we began in 1966. So I think to continue that, And they are, this is a 5-year horizon on this program. So we need to go every year to request the funding. But we've had now, we're into our second fiscal year. We just had a few months of fiscal 22 to do that first round. Second round is in now. So to continue that, I think, is one of the most important and beneficial things that we can do to help those exporters grow their business and to bring new exporters into to the market, to the ability to be able to do this.
Getting a toehold. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Really appreciate the opportunity and hope to talk to you soon.
Mark Rodehage, Director of the International Agribusiness Center. This is the State Capital Report. I'm Kedar Cherkent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.